Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, during my years of training to become a pastor, there was one year called the vicar year, where you are sent off to a church to get some practical experience and to serve underneath another pastor who is supervising you. I was sent to the great city of Columbus, Ohio. Just quick hands, anyone here been to Columbus, Ohio? Now, one thing that the people in Columbus, Ohio take great pride in is their college, Ohio State University. And if you listen to them very carefully, they actually call it the Ohio State University. Why do they call it the Ohio State University? The word the is not in their name, and it's not like there's not another Ohio State University that they're trying to distinguish themselves from. They just like to say the Ohio State because it shows how they are superior and better than other colleges. Now, yes, it seems a little arrogant for them to say that, and in some ways, when we say, well, this is the thing or this is the best way for doing something, we can come off being a little arrogant as well. But here from John's gospel, as we look at Jesus' statements, he's not being arrogant here. And some people may completely disagree with what Jesus says, but what he says is true. Jesus is the everything. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. When Jesus spoke these words, it was the evening before Good Friday. Soon Jesus would be arrested. And by this time, Jesus had already told his disciples that one of them would betray him. He already told Peter that he would deny knowing him three times. And he had already told his disciples that he would be arrested, put on trial, and be killed. And even though the disciples heard these words and in some ways kind of understood them, they were still very troubled by what Jesus says. And so Jesus tells them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Easier said than done, right? Don't let our hearts be troubled. There's so many things in this world that can cause our hearts to be troubled. And I would ask you, what is causing your heart to be troubled right now? Is your heart troubled because of family issues? Whether you are dealing with the loss of a loved one, or maybe there's some sort of situation that has split your family in two and they just can't get along anymore. Are your hearts troubled because of your financial status? You know, you weren't expecting to lose your job. You weren't expecting to have your paycheck cut down in size. You weren't expecting to pay some of those medical bills that came out of nowhere. And is that why your heart is troubled, because of medical reasons? You know, that doctor visit that you had, it didn't go as well as you had hoped. They found a medical issue that you have, or that treatment that you received isn't really working for you. Is your heart troubled because of the future? You just don't know what you are going to do and how you're going to get through a certain situation. Or since today is Mother's Day, to you mothers, are your hearts troubled because of your children? You're worried about how you're going to take care of them, or you're worried about their future and if everything is going to go all right. And so Jesus has the solution for us. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. Once again, easier said than done, right? What's stopping you from putting your complete trust in Jesus at this very moment? Is it because you have all of these problems in your life and you're so fixated on them, and you forget just to take a little time to turn to Jesus in prayer? Or is it because you have all these issues in front of you and you think, I can trust in myself, I can take care of these problems, I don't need to go to God? Or maybe it's because one time you did put your complete trust in Jesus, and yet it felt like he let you down in a certain way. And so you're not putting your full trust in him. Whatever the reason may be, our hearts can be troubled and we don't always put our full trust in God and in Jesus. But Jesus is the everything. He comes to remove troubles from our lives. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Notice that Jesus says, I am going back there. So that means if Jesus is going back there to heaven, that means there was a time that he wasn't there in heaven. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to us. He sent Jesus to remove all the things that trouble our hearts, especially the trouble of sin and death itself. Because of our sins, we don't have a rightful place in the Father's house. Because of our sins, we have been separated from God. Because of our sins, our hearts become troubled and we find it hard to always trust in God and in Jesus. But Jesus is the everything. He is our salvation. By living and dying for us, he has taken away all of our sins. He has taken away that trouble of death itself. By his life and death, we are forgiven. And after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven to prepare a perfect place for you and for me. And sometimes we may wonder, what exactly is that perfect place going to be like? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us what exactly it will be like, but Scripture does tell us what exactly it won't be like. There will be no more crying or mourning or pain or anything that troubles our hearts. For God will remove all of those things. And since God will remove all those troubles in the future, he can certainly remove any other trouble that we have in our lives. He is the everything. Trust in him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But after Jesus said all these comforting words to his disciples, they were still confused. They were still wondering. They weren't completely comforted. And so they said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus does not say, I am a way, a truth, or a life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the everything, and he makes this exclusive claim. And yet his words, they don't really mesh well in our today's society and thinking. And sometimes we can even find ourselves thinking the same way that our society does. Jesus is the way. And yet our society can think that there are many paths, many ways that lead to heaven. Some people can think, even though everyone worships a different God, in the end, we all worship the one same God anyway. Or our society can think, it doesn't really matter what I believe, as long as I'm sincere about it. Jesus says, I am the truth. Yet people nowadays can completely disagree with Jesus' statement there. Pontius Pilate himself disagreed with Jesus. For when he put Jesus on trial, Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate said, what is truth? And even today, people can think there really is no more truth. People can say, well, that's true for you, but it's not really true for me. And so this concept of truth has changed from something being objective that we can study to being something that's subjective and how we feel about it. Jesus says, I am the life. And yet people can completely disagree with that. People can think, well, this person, this grandmother, she was so nice. She must be in heaven. People can think all you have to do is live a good enough life and you will be in heaven. Or people will think, as long as I am better than most people, I have eternal life. That's what our society thinks. And maybe ourselves can think this way, but that is not what Jesus is saying. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In fact, Scripture itself says there's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, it leads to death. So when it comes to salvation, we may think it makes sense in one way, but it leads to death. Therefore, let us not become a part of this world and its thinking, but let us trust in God, let us trust in Jesus. For through him, we have access to the Father. He is the everything. But even after Jesus said these words, the disciple Philip still has his questions. He is still worried. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Philip just wanted a little bit more from Jesus. He said, Jesus, show us the Father, and that will be enough. But Jesus is the everything. Since the disciples knew Jesus, they also knew the Father as well, for the Father and Jesus are one. And so Jesus didn't have to show them the Father, for he was enough for them. And do we ever find ourselves being a little like Philip? Jesus is the everything, but we can ask Jesus for just a little bit more, and that'll be enough. And we can say to Jesus, Lord, just give me some sort of sign. That'll be enough for me. Lord, change something in my life. You know, improve something, just a little thing. And that will be enough for me. Jesus, just appear to me in a dream or in a vision. That way I can talk to you and you can talk to me and I will listen to you and that will be enough. But Jesus is the everything. We don't need anything more from Jesus except for what he has given to us because he is the everything. He is enough for us. He has given us his word where he speaks to us. He has given us faith to believe and trust in him. And he has blessed our lives so much. And he has done so many things for us. He is the everything. And one more reason why Jesus is the everything is found in these words. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus told his disciples, believe in me, or at least believe in the miracles that I have done. And then Jesus says, anyone who believes in me will do these same miracles and even things greater than these. And that's what Jesus did for the disciples. At Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and power, and they were able to perform the miracles that Jesus could do. Jesus was the everything for the lives of the disciples. But what about us? It's not like we are performing the miracles that Jesus could do. And if we can't even perform those miracles, how can we possibly even do things greater than those miracles? Well, let me ask you, what is greater? To physically raise a person from the dead, or to bring someone from spiritual death to spiritual life in Christ? What is greater? To miraculously heal someone of their physical blindness, or to give spiritual sight to someone so that they can see their sin and repent? What is greater? To physically feed thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, or to spiritually feed the soul of one person by sharing God's word with them so that their faith can grow and they can be encouraged? It is these spiritual things that Jesus is saying are the greater things than the miracles that he could perform. And Jesus is the everything for us in our lives to do that. He has given us his word, and he will help us to share that word with others. He will bless us as we obey him. And everything that we do out of love for Jesus, he takes that, and he is pleased by what we do. Jesus is the everything. For without him, we have nothing. Without Jesus, our hearts would always be troubled. Without Jesus, we have no place in the Father's home. Without Jesus, we do not have the way and the truth and the life of salvation. Without Jesus, we would never have enough, but would always be asking for more. And without Jesus, we wouldn't be able to do anything great in God's sight. But Jesus is the everything. He calms our troubled hearts. He is preparing a place for us in heaven right now. He is the way and the truth and the life of our salvation. He gives us everything that we need, and that is enough. And he helps us to do everything great according to God's will that is pleasing to him. Jesus is the everything, and he is the everything that we need. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.